Psalm 55. Look at verse 19. He's talking about the wicked, and David really lets them have it, as you know, once in a while. And he says in verse 18 of this. No, that's not it. Verse 19. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Now, this is the principle that's involved. Because they have no changes, they don't fear God. And God brings into our lives often very many changes so that we don't ever get stabilized. Right? Just about the time you get it, he hits you with something else, it seems like. And then we have to go back to him and say, oh, Lord, what do I do here? And it's people whose lives are so regulated, the wicked in particular he's talking about here, they're so regulated that they have no changes, and they say, well, it's always going to be like this, or what I'm doing is okay, and everything's working out. And there never is an appeal to God. But it's because they have no changes that they don't fear God. And so God permits them changes to come into our lives. And he does it with the purpose that we might continually look to him. This is one of the things, of course, for which he does it. Now, I'd like you to see another verse in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, and verse 18. And here's another delightful verse for every one of us. And it doesn't matter whether we're in the upper age bracket or not. It's just a delightful verse. Proverbs 4:18. And see how you like it. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Terrific. In other words, he's saying it's going to keep getting better and better all the time. There may be changes, but they're always for the good, is what he's saying. It shines more and more. And therefore, a person, as he gets older, shouldn't look upon something more dull all the time, but rather a brighter and a brighter light. Lit, of course, with the glory of heaven that soon will be his portion. But it should get better and better. Now, I'm sure that this is true of those who live for God and walk with him. I remember Peter Pell talking about his father. And he said, of course, when his dad retired, his dad had been a very active man. Can you hear me? Okay. He had been a very active man as a Christian. And when he got older, he was put in the hospital, and his habit was to get up in the morning, and as he awoke, he'd sing at the top of his voice. Well, when he got in the hospital, he did the same thing. You can imagine what happened. Singing hymns at the top of his voice. So some of them complained, and so the nurse came in and said, "Till now, we want you to quit this." And he said he wasn't about to do it, so he kept singing. So they talked to Peter about it, and they said, "You better talk to your father about this thing, getting up and singing these hymns in the morning like that." He said, "I'll be glad to do that on one condition, that if you'll go over and tell that man to quit using curse words over in the other bed, I'll tell my dad." Well, they didn't do that. So he keeps singing. But this is the type of man he was. And he would sit in his rocking chair, rocking back and forth with his Bible open on his lap, and they'd say to him, "Dad, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm just sitting here letting God love me." Okay, now that's a delightful way to go, isn't it? And this is what the Lord wants us to have, more and more of that shining light, and understand it as we go on day by day. Now, one more verse before we move into something else. Philippians, if you will, please. The 3rd chapter. And I think this applies always to all of us. Philippians 3, and look at these verses that are so familiar to us in verse 13. "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it." He says, I haven't laid hold of everything that God wants me to lay hold of in his plan for my life. But this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we started out our series with the idea that was incurred in Ephesians 2:10, that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, and we pointed out that we had a path to fulfill. Well, Paul says that he doesn't say that he's laid hold of everything, but he says, no matter what, I forget those things that are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before, and I press toward the mark, because there's a plan that God has, and he says, I'm pressing toward that. I want to fulfill that plan for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, which is ultimately, of course, to be like him. But nevertheless, he forgets the things which are behind. Now, the thing for us to do in our lives is to do that. You see, if we've been successful in the Christian life, this is great. Okay, but forget it. So, you did, and your time's run out in that particular area. You've lived that portion of your life. So, forget that, but reach forth to the things that are before, because God has more for us. And this keeps people from getting old. You know, what I see with old people is they will sit in a chair, and they will reminisce. And you start to talk to them, and they'll say, I remember when, and they go off and remember when, what was there. Instead of saying, well, you know what I want to do tomorrow, and you know what I want to do the next day, and I have plans for this, they don't think like that. And I think that I personally have a conviction about this, that maybe we ought to take an interest in old folks and see if we couldn't make them anticipate something for God or whatever. So that there's not that reminiscing all the time and forget the things that are behind, but reaching forth unto the things which are before. Now, the value of doing this is, of course, that we're stimulated to anticipate the future and forget about the things that are in the past and go on for God and see what we can do for Him. Have associations that are useful. And when I say that, if you can serve young people or teach young people or anything like this, it is invaluable because your ideas will be kept young. You will understand young people. You will understand their thinking, and you will pick this up, and it will be related to you in such a way that it will profit you. So if you can help young people, and don't believe this bit about the generation gap. That gives me a pain because there's no such thing. I don't see this. I don't see this. I've worked with young people for years, and I didn't sense this at all. If you show an interest in them, they'll open up. And they don't say, well, he's an old fogey. They don't think like that. People say they do, but that's not true. And if we can show an interest in them, we can be a blessing to them. Now, I can remember back as far as when I was 3 years old. And I remember well my childhood. I can remember very well. And I can remember when I was 16 years old that I would go up to one old man in particular. His name was Dr. Morey, and he had worked with Maitland in Africa as a doctor. And Morey was the kind of man that read his Bible, and he got out a Greek dictionary and a Greek grammar, and he taught himself Greek. And then he wanted to learn Hebrew, and he must have been 70 years old, I guess, starting out. Okay? This is the kind of fellow he was. And I would talk to him. I was 16, he was 70. Why would I talk to him? I'll tell you why I talked to him. Because he would say things, he would say much of what I knew in the Bible, with a Bible background. Even at that age, because I was brought up in it. But he would say so many things I didn't know. And I'd put up with what I knew. Let me repeat that. I said, I don't know. I wouldn't say that to him, but I'd say to myself, I know that. But then I knew he was going to lead off into something I didn't know. And I was happy to listen to him, because he could add to me, and I realized this. And I know that young people, if we can add to them in any sense, that they'd be glad to listen to us. And we don't have to think in terms of generations yet. Now, I'm going to get into something that is very practical in a moment. But I would like to say this, that as we move from one area to another in our lives, and changes do come about, that we anticipate them for one thing. And always, if you can, move into a new area, at least propose to accomplish what you would like to. I'll take it to the extreme. Supposing that you were to retire, we'll pull it out that far, and we say we're going to retire. What would you like to do? All your life, maybe you would like to have done something. You never had an opportunity to do it. Now you can do it. Maybe you'd like to devote yourself to giving out the gospel more than you've ever done before, and you're no preacher. But you can do what I knew a fellow did in St. Louis. He used to go downtown, and when I was down there, I was working down there, and I'd come along one of the main streets downtown, and here would be this fellow giving out tracts. I'd see him day after day giving out tracts. And I don't know how much that fellow was going to reap, because I can remember he's doing it day after day. And all these messages going out to these businessmen. Now, he was neatly dressed, and you would look at him, and you'd say, that fellow's no bum. Why is a man like that standing there giving out tracts? And they're not radical things. They're something religious. He's not trying to tear down something. And he had to make an impression. I don't know if I told you about the fellow in Omaha, but there's a fellow in Omaha who works for Sears Roebuck Company. And what he does is repair burned down houses. When the insurance is to be paid off, Sears will send him to this place, and he restores the house completely as part of their insurance plan. And of course, there aren't houses burning down all the time. There's just enough to keep them in business. And when he's not doing it, of course, he's still their employee on a standby basis. So what he does is get a handful of tracts, and he goes downtown. Now, he's a young man. He's a comparatively young man. He has four children. And so he said to me one day when I was there, he said, would you like to go with me? And I said, yeah. What do you do? He said, I give out tracts. So we go downtown, and when we get down there, we walk along the street. He gave me a pack. I work one side of the street, he the other. And we walk along, and the person came along saying, here's something that we think you'll enjoy reading. And I didn't have anybody refuse as I walked throughout town. Come to a bus stop, and people are sitting in these little shelters, and there might be a dozen people there. They have nothing to do. They're sitting there waiting for a bus. So he turned around, give them out the track. As we moved down one side of the street, all of a sudden he stopped. So I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and finally he comes along. And he said, that's the third time I've been with that fellow. He said, the first time I came along, he said, he looked at the thing, and he's kind of skeptical, wanted to know what it was, and I told him. Second time I came along, he said to me, do you believe in the Virgin Mary? And I said, sure, I believe in the Virgin Mary. I believe she is the Lord's mother. And he said, no, I mean, do you pray to her and all that? He said, no, the Bible doesn't teach that. And he goes on. Third time is when I saw him, and he had a long talk with him. All right? Now, that's the way he works. One day, a man came into the chapel, and he introduced me to him, and he said, I have a story behind this fellow. He said, I was downtown giving out tracts, and somebody threw away the tract and put it in a trash can. And he said, this man came along and saw that line there, picked it up, and got so interested that he called me, because I had my name on the back, and he said, I want to know how to get saved. Today he's in our assembly. All right? Thrown away tracts. Now, this sort of thing we can do and evangelize, and I think it's so necessary. Hilda and I were going east, and we stopped at shopping centers to stretch our legs at times, and she goes around stealing cloth and stuff like that, and I don't even like the smell of cloth. So I go over to the TV section or something where there's some activity, and as I went over there, this lady came up to me, and she said, are you interested in TV? I said, no. I said, my wife's over here. Oh, she said, a lot of men do that. I said, here's something that you will enjoy reading, and gave her a chance. And she picked up, she looked at it, she says, I'm a Christian. She said, my brother-in-law became a Christian. I'm a Roman Catholic, she said. I'm basically that. I was a Roman Catholic. And he talked to me, and I didn't want to hear anything he had to say. But she said, when I got my second child, I wondered how God could bring something so lovely and so beautiful out of a person who was a sinner like me. Well, what a way to get a conviction, right? Isn't that amazing? And so she said, when I realized this, I went to my brother-in-law and I talked to him and the Lord saved me. And she said, but this is the first tract I've ever been given in my life. And I said, how old are you? She said, 32. I thought, good night, where are the Christians? Right? Where are the Christians? we should be getting this message out. We should give out this. And I think that this is a tremendous way to do it, and it's a simple way to do it. You can stand on a street, and we have that privilege of doing this in America, just to give out tracts. If that was the only thing we did, we said, I want to get it out. If we can't speak or anything else, it doesn't matter. Now, if there's something else that we can do, I think of Tom Shepard. Now, Tom Shepard up here didn't get saved until he was 50 years old. I think he was 50 years old. And he had been a big businessman in St. Louis. At one time he owned his own print, his own typesetting shop. And he went into a partnership in another one, which was a large one. And Tom is a very, very capable businessman. He's a hard guy, but that's the way he's brought up. And the Lord saved him because he wanted to find out the truth. He was a Methodist church. He was, as I remember, he's a deacon in there, and they were always asking for money and trying to drum it up. And he thought to himself, this isn't Christianity. And his wife was a Christian, professing Christian, but in this Methodist church, too. And they never heard the gospel. And so he said to his wife, why don't we try and find a church that really teaches the Bible? So they said, well, the best thing to do is look up in the telephone book and see if there's anything around here. So when they looked it up, they came to the name of our chapel, which says the Bible Chapel. So they said, well, that's logical. Bible Chapel, they ought to teach the Bible. So he said, you go and find out what they teach. So she goes, and when she gets there, of course, the word was preached, and she came back, and she says, they teach the Bible. So he comes out, and he listened for quite a while before he did anything, because it had to appeal to him, and he realized what was needed. And my dad was a very blunt man. He says to Tom, Tom, you're a sinner, and what you need to do is get saved. And I could see Tom kind of go, you know, when he said this, you almost see it physically. I thought, good night, that's a pretty hard way to say it. But that was my dad. So anyhow, it got to Tom. And one day, as he's driving down the street, he's thinking about this, and he pulls up to a stoplight, and as he's resting there, waiting for that light to change, he says, I will receive you, Lord. And he got saved. Now, immediately, he began to study, and he still gets up early in the morning and studies. But at that time, he began to get up, even though he's a businessman, at 5 o'clock and put a whole hour in on study. I think he took every single course in a man that a man puts up. In addition to that, he says, I want to be used of God. And he would do anything around the chapel. I mean, it didn't matter what it was. And the other day he was saying to me, I was talking to him about, and he says, I don't have much gift. He says, I'm no teacher. He says, I have studied the Word, and he has a pretty good grasp of it. More than most men, having studied so much. But he said, my gift is help. Now, of course, he's getting up in years, and so it's not so easy for him to do it. But he says, my gift is help. And I thought, that's a wonderful thing, that a person can say, well, this is what I'd like to do. I'd like to live for God. If my gift is help, okay, then that's what I'll do. And that bathhouse up there, those screens on the outside, are all made by Tom, because he says, my gift is help. So this idea, then, if we can have some kind of a vision, and then say, Lord, I want to be used of you, and not lose vision. And when our children retire, not give up and say, well, that's the end of everything. Some people do. Be a help to them and seek to be a help to them. In Deuteronomy, it says that the fathers and the father's father could teach the children. It lays the responsibility upon the grandfathers as well as the fathers to teach the children. Of course, we have the example of Lois, Eunice and Lois, that Timothy's mother and grandmother was such a blessing to him. And we can see how that can be, the grandparents being that, and they should. Now, I'm not going to belabor this because I have to get into something else. This is our last time together, so that we don't offend anybody in that sense. Bad breath can be caused by teeth, you know, as you know, or maybe ill health, or things like this. But we can buy sprays today. We can shoot into our mouths and all that sort of thing. But we should be very, very careful, and particularly if we go to speak to people. And we deal with people to be careful that we have something that covers up whatever. And then to be dressed neatly. There was a lady I knew in Africa. She was a missionary. She's a nurse in Africa. Her name was Mademoiselle Plath. Miss Plath, we'd call her. And she was one of the neatest women I ever saw. She had a black velvet tam. Now, she had one half. That's all she had. But that tam was spotless. She didn't have many clothes, but she was neat. Every time I look at her, I think, wow, what a neat lady. I always thought of her as kind of being sort of a queen, you know, because of the way she dressed, and she was an elderly woman. But I think this is so essential that we can be neat in our dress and clean in our dress because it is important. On visitation, door to door, it is absolutely essential. If we do not look neat, people are not going to be impressed with our message. I can go into a hardware store in my blue jeans, and I got some old blue jeans, and I can go in there and with an old shirt on and talk to a fellow and say, I'd like to have some lumber or whatever, and he'll say, okay, you know, and serve me. If I go in with a tie on and a white shirt, he'll say, sure, what do you want? Okay, same guy, same man, but that's the way people judge. They judge it that way. And when you get these Mormon kids coming around, neat, right? White shirt, nice dark long tie, haircut, trim, comb, nice pants. That's the way we have to represent the Lord. And we have to do that and be conscious of that because that's all people see. They look on the outward appearance. And God does too. I'm sure He does. But nevertheless, that's what we have to be careful about. There are other practical things like regular hours of rest. To get sufficient rest, because then we'll be at the peak of our ability, and this is important to us. I know I'm tempted to stay up late, and I do, but when I get rest, I'm far more efficient. But that's important to us, and particularly if we sense pressure in our business or whatever. And watch our diet, get a regularly rounded out diet. We're getting so many allergies today, I often wonder whether part of the wrong diet. But if we can get a well-rounded diet, that's essential to us and not go off on these cookies and things all the time. And then watch excessive weight. And the quickest remedy for that is, you know, is pushing back from the table. But just to watch. The use of medication, nothing wrong with it. Paul said to Timothy, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. You remember? And then in our leisure, not to do nothing, but to do something. Occupy ourselves. If we are the kind that have to apply ourselves at a desk, then choose some sort of a recreation or a hobby that will give you activity. If you're the kind that is active all day, then you might want to choose a hobby that is more sedimentary, like if a man were a ditch digger, he might want to go in for photography or something like that. But these things are practical things that will help us, and we should be conscious of. All right, in the social area, just a few suggestions. Make new friends. Don't go back to your old friends all the time. Make new friendships. And with young people, smile, be a good listener, keep an eye-to-eye contact, and take time to listen. I've had some people say to me, you always seem like you're in a rush and you don't have time to listen. Okay, true, all right? But we have to do that. And be positive and not negative in our attitude. And encourage rather than discourage. If you have read the book of... I have to think about his name. Harold Tingen. It's a biography by his daughter, and then she tells about how Harold Tingen was a man who never criticized anybody. Well, I don't know that that's right either, but nevertheless, he would never criticize anybody. He'd never say anything bad about anybody. So the young fellows in the assembly got together and they said, we're going to make him say something bad about somebody. So what they did, there was one fellow in the assembly who was a crab and everything else. They couldn't think of a good thing to say about this guy. So they went up to St. John and they said, now, Mr. St. John, we want you to be honest. Yeah, I'll be honest. What good thing can you say about this man, Brother So-and-so? And he said, well, he's got a good wife. Blew it for those guys. Positive thinking, right? And this is what we want. And then be courteous and be available for people. Friendships, when you meet another friend, it always, if you inquire as to what they do or take an interest in them, you'll find it always broadens you because they'll add something to you. And we should do that. And then we should do things and go places. just to get a change. George Rainey, you might know of George Rainey, the speaker. You know what he does when he comes home from preaching? He gets out a good Western novel, Shoot 'Em Up, and reads it. Okay? Just get a change of pace. My grandfather used to say, don't always apply yourself to the things of God. Your mind doesn't work that way. He says, think some other thoughts sometimes. Of course, it'd be right thoughts, but nevertheless, that's it. We can travel, we should travel. Whatever we can do while we have the ability, do it. Dear Abby, in your confidential to retired and bored, you left out one of the great avenues for relief to boredom, volunteering in schools, especially elementary school. And, of course, if you have a Christian school, they'd warrant your help, and you would be delighted to have it. So that would be a means of service. And a lot of people withdraw themselves from service when they get older, Christian service, and they say, well, no, let the younger people do it. That is all right in a given area. Supposing one was a pianist and there's a younger woman who's coming up and to do that, she might like to say, well, I'd like to step down from that, but don't step out. Do something else. So if we can do this, and my time's up, so I won't take you any longer. But these things maybe will be a help to us. And the main thing is, as I said, is to go back to our original statement that God has chosen for us a path to walk. And it's a good path. And it keeps getting better and better, and the light shines more and more into a perfect day. And if we can realize that, not just in old age, but all through our lives, just go on for God and be used of Him. Let us